The following program is brought to you by Speak the Word Ministries.
Some of you, maybe your dreams might have seemed like they turned into nightmares. Saints, God loves to restore what has been devoured in our lives. That's His specialty.
Speak the Word.
Welcome to Speak the Word with Bible teacher and evangelist, Pastor Joanne Ramsey. Speak the Word Ministries is called to train up God's children to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. We also invite you to visit us online at speakthewordministry.net. And now, here's Pastor Joe with today's message.
Speak the Word.
The title to my message is called Christ-Centered, Self-Centered. Most of my messages really is all about teaching the Word. It's all about speaking to your mountains. And it's all about how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, according to Ephesians 6. He says, but, you know, because this is what God has anointed me to do. Years ago, when He called me into the ministry, He anointed me to teach His Word and raise up the soldiers for these end days. However, a few weeks ago, He told me that you and I could confess His Word all we want to. He says, but unless we have love in our hearts for Him and have love in our hearts for each other, He says, it doesn't matter how much we confess His Word to Him or how much we confess His Word about Him. He said, without love in our hearts, He says, our confessions are not going to be to any benefit whatsoever. And I was thinking that you might be thinking, well, why are you telling us this? Well, I'm telling you this because the Lord has impressed upon me that you still all have mountains that need to come down. And if you want those mountains to come down, then this is some things that He's instructing us to do. And I know for a fact that when the Lord gives me a message, it's not entirely for the people I'm preaching to, it's for me too. You know, He's reminding me too, well, Joe, you're going around speaking to your mountains and speaking to your situations, but you've got to remember too, I do love the Lord with all my heart, and I know all of you here love the Lord your God too. And we think we love each other, but sometimes we're not loving each other like we should. You know, we're gossiping about them. We're not helping them when they need help. You know, we're just not being the brother and sister that God wants us to be. And He's gently reminding us of this, and He's reminding me, you know, I try to help people all the time. I try to be the way He wants me to do, but sometimes we just forget. We just get so caught up in the things that's going on in the world today and just get caught up with the things in our own life that we don't take into consideration a lot of those around us. He says, and learning some of these truths and getting some of this revelation is what's going to help you bring those mountains down. Hallelujah. You know, as I was saying earlier, my ministry is teaching God's children to speak His Word and feed the sheep. You know, God impressed upon me in the very beginning of my walk with Him the importance of the words coming out of my mouth, the importance of confessing His Word over my life and the lives of my family. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but confessing the Word over my life and the lives of my family has become a way of life for me. You know, once you start doing this, it really becomes a habit. It really does. I mean, you just automatically, if your head hurts, you automatically put your hands on it and speak to it. Situations are going wrong, you automatically pray about it and speak over the situation, you know. I was saying, though, that confessing God's Word over my situation or speaking to my mountain has changed my life. And I really believe that when you start speaking into your situations and over your mountains, that it's going to change your life, too. It's going to make a big difference in your life when you start lining your words up with what He says. It's not going to change until you do. I can tell you that. It's just not going to change until you start agreeing with what God says about us. It's just not going to change. I know also how important it is to speak to your situations, how important it is to speak to your mountains. I don't know about you, but when I speak to something, I want to see something happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not speaking just to hear myself talk. Mm-hmm. I want to see something happen. And I believe God does too. You know, I think we've just been doing a lot of talking and I want to see some action. And it takes a while. You can't get there overnight. I'm not there. Probably never get there. But I'm further down the road than I was when I started. You know, I'm having a lot better results with my prayer life, with speaking to situations than I did years ago, even a year ago. you know, like I said, you're going from one level to another, and it takes time. It takes practice. So you can't let yourself get discouraged. You can't let the devil discourage you. You just have to keep going. One of the things that I believe that he wanted me to share with you is that he wants me to make sure that we get an understanding of what's important to him. And in order to do that, I would like to, if you've got your Bibles, we'll turn over to Mark chapter 12, verse 29. I'm going to start with verse 29 there. Now, this is where Jesus was telling everyone what is important to him and what's important to his Father. And Jesus said, the most important commandment is this. He said, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And he says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your entire mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important, he says in 31. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, no other commandment, he said, is greater than these. We were talking about bringing our mountains down, and one of the things that the Lord impressed upon me to bring these mountains down is that we must start loving one another more. We must love him with all our hearts and all our minds, and we must love each other. And unless we do this, we're not going to see the results that we want. It's just as plain as that. Praise God. Before I go any further, I'd like to make it clear that this word is not to condemn you here. It's not to condemn anyone here, but it definitely is a word to enlighten you, and it's a word to encourage you, but it's not a word to condemn you. As a matter of fact, he tells us in Romans 8:1, in the Amplified Bible, he says, therefore there is no condemnation for him that's in Christ Jesus. He says, there is no adjudging guilty of wrong for those that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit which is in Christ Jesus has set us free from the spirit of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. And as I said, he just wants to enlighten us to the things that are important to him. I don't know about you, but I want to know what's important to God. If it's important to him, then it's important to me. He tells us in Hosea 4:6 that his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, a lot of Christians, I don't think, realize this, but you can only have the faith that you have the knowledge for. You can't do above of what you know, you know. And this is why the Lord says that, you know, my people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. You're not being destroyed because they know too much. You're being destroyed because you don't know enough. You know, you just don't know enough. So it's really important that we get to know God's Word. Only then, he says, will we know what his will is for us. Amen. And, you know, and he tells us in Amos 8:11 in Amplified Bible, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. And the people shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, he says, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, inquiring for and requiring it as one requires food, he says, but they shall not find it. You know, that's awesome. You know, the Lord impressed upon me to share with you how very much he loves you. This is one thing that I want you to keep in the forefront of your mind as I talk, is how much God really loves you. He wants you to get this knowledge so you can be armed. You can't be armed without the knowledge of God. And his desire for us is not about doing so many things and trying to please him. You know, so many people are so busy all the time trying to do things to please God. But you know, he says that so many of his children have been taught to do this, you know, kind of busy himself. But he said he wants you to know that you have already pleased him, yes. Brothers and sisters. I want you to know that God is already happy with you. He's pleased with you. You have pleased him abundantly, he says. When you accepted his son Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you pleased him more than you could possibly ever know. And that's something that we need to keep reminding ourselves. I need to remind myself of that. You need to remind yourself of that. You know, our Father wants us to get back that overwhelming love and that excitement that we had for him, that we had at the very beginning of our relationship with him. You know, he wants that on fire relationship with him. He don't really care about all this busy stuff.
Yes.
He really don't. If we can love him and love each other,
right,
you're pleasing God.
Amen.
And you need to tell yourself that, you know.
Right.
When the devil's trying to get you preoccupied and doing all this stuff, you just need to say, I thank you, Lord, I'm pleasing you.
Yes.
I'm loving you today, so I'm pleasing you. I'm loving my neighbors. I'm pleasing you. I'm pleasing you. You know, he wants us to have that love that we had before we got so caught up in the works and doing stuff.
Yes.
Before we got so misled by so many churches and false doctrines teaching us that our works was the most important thing. There's a lot of false doctrine. There's a lot of churches that's teaching you today that it's more important that you do these things. It's almost like you join the church and they give you a list.
Amen.
It's not about that. He does want us to bear fruit.
Yes.
Okay, but it's not about doing works. And he wants us to bear fruit, but not to the point to where we put them first. He always wants to be first and foremost. He says that we have forgotten our first love.
Speak the word.
You're listening to Speak the Word with Pastor Joanne Ramsey. We will return to today's message in just a moment. Prayer is the most powerful tool we have to deal with anything life throws at us. And we are not alone in prayer. If you need prayer, please contact Pastor Joe today. Call toll-free at 855-505-2297 or send an email to speakthewordministry@cox.net. Finally, you can visit online at speakthewordministries.net. There you can submit prayer requests, read suggested prayers for common life situations, and listen to past broadcasts. Romans 8 reminds us, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. At Speak the Word Ministries, we cannot do God's work alone, and we humbly ask for you to keep us in your prayers as well. And now, let's return to today's message from Pastor Joe on Speak the Word.
You know, he talks about in Revelations, we're going to go to Revelations chapter 2, verses 4. He says in verse 2 in the New Living Translation, he says, I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. He says you have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but they are not. He said you have discovered that they are liars. He says you have patiently suffered for me without quitting. In verse 4, though, he says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. And this is what we were talking about in the very beginning. He says, you don't love me and you don't love each other like you did when you first got to know me. He likened it one time to me as a relationship. You know, when you get married or when you're dating, you know, when you first get married, you know, you're just on fire for each other. You can't do enough for each other, you know. And as the time goes by, you know, it just kind of wanes away, you know, and you kind of take each other for granted. And I think really sometimes we take God for granted and we don't really need to do that. If you really want to be happy and you want him to be pleased with you, then we're just always going to have to put him first. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more as I go along in this message about how important it is that we love each other and hopefully share with you some of the ways that we can do that. We need to get a revelation of what is important to God. As I said before, he does want us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear much good fruit.
Yes.
According to John chapter 15, verse 8, he says, because when you produce much fruit, he says, you are my disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. So I'm not saying that he doesn't want you to bear fruit. But part of your fruit bearing and bearing fruit is being good to each other.
Yes.
That's the biggest part of your fruit. However, he does not want us to replace his love with our works.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you more than he wants your works.
Yeah.
And I want you to just think about that. If you got a pencil, write that down. God wants me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more important to God than my works. He's my Father. He loves me. He don't want my works. He wants me. You know, when you're loving the Lord, you're going to do the fruits, you're going to do the works, but they're going to follow his love. It's not going to be to get his love. It's going to be because you love him. And you're doing it because you love him. You're not doing it to get his love. There's a big difference in trying to do something to get somebody's love than doing it for him because you love him. I do things for David every day. this little thing. To me, they're little things. They just come natural. When you love somebody, they just come natural. They're not works to me. They're not chores to me. They're saying, I love you. You don't have to say anything. You're just saying, when you do these little things for each other, you're saying, I love you, without ever opening your mouth. Just certain things I just like to do for him. I don't have to do it. He's a big man. He can take care of himself. But I enjoy doing this. And this is what the Lord is saying. You do the things for me because you enjoy doing them. You don't do them because you feel like you have to do it to win my approval and that I'm doing right, or because somebody's told you that you've got to do it. You're doing it because you love him. And when you're doing these little things, you're saying, Lord, I love you. And your actions today shows that you love him. And your actions will also show that you don't. Or maybe you do love him, but you're not showing it. You know, I can say I love David, but if I don't ever do anything to show it, maybe I do love him, but maybe he would never know that because I've never done anything. You know, maybe you say it, but you know, words are cheap. And this is what the Bible teaches us. He says your actions. That's where it is. God is not ignorant to the things that we do, brothers and sisters. He knows what you're doing. You know, he knows where you got a list this long or one this long. As a matter of fact, you know, he names about four things in Revelations 2 that he knows we do, and he even commends you for doing them. So he's aware of your works. And I say, I know that you want to please God just as much as I do. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. You know, I really do. And I really want to be all about him and doing things for him, and I'm sure that you do too. But if we want to do that by loving him and loving each other. Is as simple as that. And this is how we can do that. I want you to really listen to what I'm about to say to you, brothers and sisters. For it is when we begin serving others that we show our love for the Lord. It's when we serve that we show love. It's when I'm serving David that I'm showing him I love him. It's when I'm serving the person that works for me, that works with me, that I'm showing how much I think about them. Just the little things that you do for somebody, that shows that you're important to them. And I know that is not always easy. It's not always easy to serve people. It's not always easy to be nice to people. And I was going to share this experience with you. You know, I remembered back in the late 90s and up through 2004 when the Lord had me going to the jail to minister to the inmates there, to both the women and the men there. Twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon and every Sunday morning. And there was this lady there. Her name was Janet. And she treated me terribly. I mean, she went out of her way to insult me. She went out of her way to put me down. You know, she was filled with this evil that you could sense it when you were in her presence. You know, I wasn't the only one that could sense it. Even the, you know, her coworkers that worked with her, you know, they could do the same thing. And I don't think she liked anybody, but she especially didn't like me. You know, you run across people sometimes that don't like you only because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. And when you're around people that have the devil in them, you're going to clash with that person. You know, they're not going to like you. They're not going to want you in their environment. They're going to try to get rid of you. But, you know, it was the Holy Spirit, you know, and I'd come in contact with her. It was the Holy Spirit and the demons. You know, because when you were in her presence, you know that was a fight going on, but I know who won. You know who's going to win that fight. I mean, you know, hands down, hallelujah. You know, I didn't have a problem with her when I'd go on Wednesday because some of the sergeants and the captain would, you know, they would be there. So if this person was there, she wasn't nice to me when they were there, but she wouldn't go out of her way to do anything extra. She wouldn't do anything. She'd always wait until Sunday morning when she was alone and she was with another male guard, you know. And when I'd go into the jail, I'd go into the main part and you'd walk in and there was a glass partition there. And actually all the other ministers had to go into another door, but they always allowed me to go through that door, you know, because my husband was county manager. So they showed me a little bit more respect there. So they let me go through that door, but they had to unlock the door to let you in. And I'd come up to the window and she'd be sitting there working her crossword puzzle and she'd look up and she'd look right at me, you know, and then she'd look back down and she'd keep on working her crossword puzzle, just ignoring me, you know, and after a few minutes, she'd come over And she'd open the door for me, and she would call over the speaker. Once she'd get me inside the little room, you know, they had their speakers up there where they could go inside all the jails and the cells and everything, you know. And she'd put on the mic. She says, "The preacher woman is here." And she'd say it with this really slur, you know, "The preacher woman is here." She says, "Anybody want to see her?" And then the women, you know, back, you know, she was telling me in the women's cells, because the male always took me back to the 40-man cell. But she'd always have to take me back to where the women were. And so she would take me back, but she'd always come back to get me early. And she'd always come back when I was right in the middle of my prayer. I guess that through the speakers, she could probably hear when I would get to that part, you know, where I'd be praying with everybody, and then she'd always come back and interrupt. She'd open the door and she'd say, "Time's up. Time's up." This went on for years. And I could have stopped it, because for at that time, like I said, my husband, that's now deceased, was the county manager there. But I didn't. I felt like this was between me and the Lord. You know, sometimes things are just between you and the Lord. And, you know, we get into situations that He doesn't put us into. But sometimes we need to be in that situation in order to get the experience that we need for maybe future things that's going to be tougher, you know. But most of the time, I would see the men first. And by the time I got into minister, into the 40-man cell, the minister to him, I'd practically be in tears. You know, I was doing everything I could. I wasn't a crybaby by no means. But when you've got somebody putting you down like this, you know, it's kind of hard to keep your composure. So sometimes it would take me minutes to get my composure before I could get started. But the Holy Spirit, He would take over, and we'd have a great service. You know, and I'd go back to my car, and I'd pray for her, and I would cry. I'd pray for her and I'd cry, because the Lord says that you must pray for those that persecute you. You must pray for your enemies. And even if you do it through tears, you're going to have to do what's right. You know, I wanted to quit so many times. You don't know how many times I wanted to quit, brothers and sisters. But I would think, I don't have to take this. You know, I don't have to take this mess. You know, I would say to myself, "Joe, you don't have to take this mess. They don't pay you to do this. You don't have to come up here and have somebody belittle you and mistreat you. You don't have to do that." But I couldn't do it. I knew I couldn't quit, because the Lord had called me and the Lord had anointed me to go there. And so I would pray and I'd put a smile on my face and I'd stand. And that's what we have to do. We have to stand whether we want to stand or not. And sometimes you have to stand alone. Sometimes, saints, that's what we all have to do. We just have to stand. But, you know, I thank God for all of the ones who were so nice to me, and the ones that I did get to witness to, as well as the inmates, because I had some wonderful stories come from those cells, from the men and the women, as well as from the staff, because over the years, and I ministered there for 11 years. So, you know, I thank Him for letting me know that these things would make me stronger and prepare me for the work that He's called me to do. You know, the Lord did not bring these assaults on me, but He gave me the grace and He gave me the courage to endure them, as He will you too. He gave me grace, and He gave me extra grace, and He gave me courage. He gave me strength, and He'll do the same thing for you. My point is this, brothers and sisters. Loving others is not always an easy thing. It's not always easy serving people and loving people, but it is rewarding. It's very rewarding to know that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. According to Romans 5:5, His love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so it's really awesome to know that that love is big enough to forgive those who hurt us and to forgive those that trespass against us. When we can't forgive another person that trespass against us, another person that hurts us, we're saying that His love is not great enough. Because He's not expecting you to do what you do under your own steam, under your own power, under your natural love. He says His love, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient.
Speak the word to your body. Speak the word to your mind. Speak the word to every circumstance that mountain can't stand.
With that special word, we've come to the end of our broadcast with Bible teacher Pastor Joanne Ramsey here on Speak the Word. In just a moment, Pastor Joe will be back with a special closing thought But first, if you'd like to invite Pastor Joe to speak at your church or conference, you can contact us at Speak the Word Ministries, P.O. Box 9175, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23450. Our telephone number is 855-505-2297. If you'd like to email Pastor Joe, her email address is speakthewordministry@cox.net. That's speakthewordministry@cox.net. And now, here's Pastor Joe with a closing prayer.
Please join me now as I pray this prayer that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that the entrance of your word brings light, and with that light comes understanding. And I thank you that you have revealed to us what is important to you. And based on your word, the two most important things for us are to love you with all of our hearts and to love our brothers and sisters likewise. So I pray today, Lord, that you will give me the grace to not think more highly of myself than I ought to, and to always put the needs of others above my own. I pray for the compassion to always have love in my heart for others, for it is by loving others that I show my love for you. Hallelujah. For this, Lord, is what is important to you, that I love you with all my heart and to love my brothers and sisters likewise. And praise God, I do. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Speak the Word is a listener-supported ministry. Your donations are vital to enable us to continue bringing you this program each day on this station. Join us next time on Speak the Word.
Speak the Word to every circumstance. That mountain can't stand against the Word of God. Against the Word.